It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
All right, folks, Mike the Ref here. Just on my long trip home from Springbrook following the RCW Collision Course show. I believe we got another Sesame Street order tonight. Tonight's show is brought to you by the letter L for long. Oh my God, was that a long card. Total match time from bell time to finish time was over 3 hours. We just finished up approximately just before 11, and bell time was 7:45. So, didn't help we had a 20-minute promo to start the show, which I ended up being involved with. But overall, you get a feeling that some of these matches dragged on a little bit longer than they should have in an 8-match card. When you have 8 matches on a card, including having to set up a steel cage, you're going to have to shorten up your matches, keep them tight. If you want to go back to the old WCW pay-per-views, they used to have 14 or 15 matches in 3 hours. But those matches ended up being like 3-4 minutes tops. You needed to either cut back on the matches or else cut back on the time in those matches. My personal feeling in a setting like this, when you had to set up a cage, a 5-match card would have done plenty, especially with the guys that you have involved in the matches overall. So we did end up being 5 title matches. We only found 4. Originally scheduled for 4, sorry. We ended up with 5 title matches tonight. Overall, the match quality was not bad. Let's start out with the first match. We had a belt from Saskatchewan, the Ringside Wrestling North American Championship, being defended by Joey Vendetta as he took on First Family member Zarif Metovich. Now, Zarif over the last few months has absolutely been lighting it up in terms of his quality of matches, his ability to push along and create a great finish. This was a back and forth match. I thought that Zarif had enough to take this match, but in the end, Joey Vendetta did get the victory and retained his Ringside Wrestling North America Championship. Took about 15 minutes for the match. All right, but still felt was probably a little bit long, like all these matches, but I'm going to be frank here, folks. Second match. Now, this one where it really started to bug me here. We had a 6-man tag, and I don't want to have any karma here with one guy. Needs to buzz off a little bit here. Barricade. Tag teaming with his First Family partner, newly minted Mike Briggs. And also a Callie Capelli, a relative newcomer to the wrestling game in Alberta, as they took on the team of Tony Cage, who is a relative newcomer himself, joining forces with Tiger Ali and Leon Grayson. Now, you could see the inexperience in both guys, and they seem to be swept up in the match a little bit. Tony not so much, because he does have a few more matches under his belt. Problem with 6-man matches on this card, this is where I'm getting back to my topic of long for the evening. Everybody trying to get involved in the match just drags it out that much more. And the fact that it was dragged out that much ended up causing a real stale finish for everybody. Like, Barricade ends up getting the victory. Barricade gets tossed out in the ring and there's a big kerfluffle. Mike Briggs hits the low blow, followed with the pump handle slam to get the victory. Mike Briggs is your winner, along with Barricade and Kelly Capelli. All right, match. What you would expect out of a 6-man. Like, folks, I'm going to say this again. These matches here were all right. It's just how many they had really sucked the crowd out of everything here. So, from there, one of the matches that I think took just about the right amount of time, and got its story across rather well. Yeah, 20-year veteran Rex Roberts, he's been around throughout Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, and BC over 20 years, like I just mentioned. He's taking on Mutado, recently in a feud with the First Family, namely Barricade. Mutado's had a little bit of a mean streak in him. He's been a face so far at RCW, and we saw a little bit of fire in him in this match. It looked like he was a little bit heelish in this one. I don't know where he's going with it, but time will tell at this point. He's got a big match tomorrow with Barricade, with Thaddeus Archer banned from ringside. So, in the end, a very impressive elbow drop from the top rope by Rex Roberts. I'd say it's about two-thirds across the ring. Beautifully placed into the chest of Mutado to knock him out and to get the three count. And with that, Rex Roberts was your winner here in his re-debut at RCW. Good match, good timing. Didn't overstay their welcome, but did definitely get a point across. So I was rather impressed with that match. Now, this next match sort of disturbs me. First of all, before I begin on this match, I have to give a shout-out to the big guy, Delmer. Delmer, you got to get your eyes checked. You got to get your sources straight. This upcoming lady is not my girlfriend. Thank you. We got Hurricane Katrina comes out, who, let's face it, it was Kato and drag. I don't know what he does with his Saturday nights, frankly, because if this is what he does on his Saturdays and this is a Friday, I don't know what to say, folks. I hope he's down in Pure Power Wrestling tomorrow in Lethbridge, just for the fact that somebody can watch him and take care of him down there. He challenged Kat Von Hees to the RCW Women's Championship as Hurricane Katrina. Kat came down. This actually turned out to be a rather good match between these two. I know Kat's faced men before, and it was a back-and-forth match, and Kat finishes the match with the, I guess you would call it the Kleenex Buster. Normally you call it an implant buster, but let's face it, Kato's got no tits. So I guess he took out the Kleenex that was stuffed in the bra. So she hits that, gets the 1-2-3, and still retains her title. I'd like to see what happened if Hurricane Katrina won that belt that night, but that would be an interesting turn of matters here. But from the comical match to the oh my god match of the night, the RCW British Commonwealth Championship was defended with the Lion Warrior Bobby Sharp. Sorry folks, with me ring announcing, driving, all that great stuff, you might hear a few pauses in here somewhere. Back to the match here. The Lion Warrior Bobby Sharp was defending his RCW British Commonwealth title against the Zombie Hunter Mentolo. Now, if you check out From the Second Row Productions, I joined the legend T. James Logan as we discussed the upcoming card. And I said this match very well could be the match of the night. While I think technically-wise this was the match of the night, it ended up being the oh my god moment of the night as well. These guys are going back and forth, getting a lot of, I guess in the term they call it, false finishes. A lot of near falls. Couldn't really tell who's going to win it until both guys went down and the referee goes down due to a kick by, I do believe it was Mentolo. Knocked the referee down. Big Jess Youngblood comes out and he runs into the ring, wraps a guy in the head with the title. He's trying to hit Mentolo. Mentolo ducks and Bobby Sharp gets absolutely cranked with the RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship. Now, This ends up being where Mensal takes advantage, gets the 1-2-3. And your new RCW British Commonwealth champion was Mentolo. Now, after the match, Bobby Sharp ends up kicking Big Jess Youngblood in the Youngbloods, as we would call it. As far as I'm concerned, it's just karmic retribution for a shot in the nuts, or shot in the back he gave me when a couple months ago here, that I'm still training to take care of my fellow fans to do a somersault. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. Thaddeus, yes, I know everybody has to take a drink right now. But Bobby Sharp ends up grabbing that title and holding it high. So I could see, while Bobby Sharp is owed a rematch for the RCW British Commonwealth title, I could see Bobby Sharp moving up to take on Big Jess Youngblood for the heavyweight championship. That would be a match I would love to see. Bobby Sharp is listed in the top 500 of the PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I believe it's 481, but don't quote me on that. The wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton, will be able to provide better details on that later on. But that matchup really intrigues me. This match, like I said, was okay. It ended up with a great finish to start up another feud here. And then from there, all the dickheads in the crowd get rejoiced. It was ego versus ego with Michael Richard Blaze taking on Dick Richards. Now, these two guys are complete entertainers. They have all the packages. They have the skill. They have the mic. They have the crowd in the palm of their hand. They know how to work a crowd. They know how to take care of a match. However, and I stress this as a however, I will first say that Brian Hamilton, the wrestling mind, before he left Springbrook himself, frankly, he didn't want to be a part of this tonight just because it was so dang late. And this gets to my point, but Brian wanted me to make sure that everybody knew that this was definitely his match of the night. And for me, in many circumstances, this would have been my match of the night. Except for one thing, that dreaded L word, long. Now, sixth match of the card, and this match ended up going 23 minutes, according to my stopwatch. That is absolutely, no, disgusting, horrible. Why? No. They threw a lot of gimmicks out, and while I would really enjoy them in the context of a decent match in a decent-sized card, you're almost getting into hour three. You're about halfway through hour two at this point. The crowd's starting to die out a little bit from their energy. And essentially this match pretty much sucked the rest out of it. Like, seriously, in a typical smaller card, this match would have been fit absolutely beautifully and would have been able to carry on very well. But in the end, Michael Richard Blaze does get a dirty pin following a fake ankle injury, which everybody absolutely got sold on. Hell, to be perfectly honest, I got sold on. He was at ringside. They had four or five referees come out. As soon as Dick had his back turned, Mike sneaks in there, gets the small package cover, 1-2-3, and gets a victory. Now, this feud definitely is not over between these two guys, and I hope it gets to carry on over the next few months here. But from there, we get to the RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship match with Big Jess Youngblood defending the belt against a Winnipeg All-Star, Kevy Chevy. This guy here, the kind of moves that he could pull off in a ring was absolutely phenomenal. The backflips, the suplexes, the somersault. This guy has the agility of a cruiserweight, but he weighs in at 300 pounds, or 300 and a half pounds, as you would call it. And the other opponent in this three-way dance was Bryce the Slammer Silva, who definitely was on his game tonight. Very well done, very over the top, and these guys ended up going back and forth. The match didn't go as long as you would expect. I think everybody was starting to clue in to the fact that, hell, we're starting to enter hour three of this show. And frankly, guys, this is not a pay-per-view show. It was never intended to be. That's next month on the Rise of the Legends tour, but these guys ended it real quick with Big Jess getting the pin. I do believe it was on Bryce Slammer Silva. And from there, Big Jess is still your champion. And great on him. He pulled out a hell of an effort. Despite what he's done to me, I will give the devil his due. He is definitely a champion worth being around. And worth being in RCW, for that matter. Then from there, we went to intermission. Now, I want to give special props out to the RCW ring crew. This cage, for the most part, got up about as fast as I expected. I'm thinking about 20 minutes to half an hour, and it was just a little over half an hour. I know my previous experiences doing with cages, they took a lot longer than this to get set up. And for the most part, the cage looked rather friendly. There was just one section there that I really didn't like that was essentially the fencing wasn't attached to the post, and there were all the zip ties that they used to tie it up with broke. So it could have been a possibility that Frenetico ended up on the outside. Could have slid right through and won the match. That would have been interesting if that happened. But let's get to the main event here. Now, it is the new Viking Rage of Vince Austin and Shotgun Stevens taking on the newly minted Team FU with Frenetico and UGG versus the champions, the Dogs of War. Now, the way this match sets up, you had one man from each team in the ring to start. And then, unfortunately, I got the privilege of announcing the random drawings of one man entering at 1 minute intervals until every man enters the cage. And then once that happens, the first man to escape the cage was your winner, and their team won the tag titles. So this match starts out with Vince Austin, Moses Luke, and Frenetico. Now, these guys work well together. Moses is a little heavier competitor, but the other two are very light. And they had some decent spots in there as they were going. Next entered Shotgun Stevens, of course. Never fails that I would pick a heel to get in there first. I should have picked up a 649 ticket today, but anyway. The NVR decided to take control of the match at that point. Then following that, UGG got in there. Was a little bit more of a evener fight there. Moses Luke was still damaged pretty good. And then Steven Styles got in the ring. And then the match, quote-unquote, officially began. Now, you could pretty much check out all your typical cage spots with guys hitting the cage, grinding the cage. Wasn't really anything out of the ordinary for the first part. Sorry, folks. A little interruption there. All right, back to the match here. Now everybody's in. You get your regular cage spots. But then there's one thing that, I'll be honest, it rather upset me. Folks, the people that listen to this podcast quite often realize I'm not a big fan of blood. Now, in a cage match, you can expect some blood. I'm sorry, there was PG cage matches in WWE right now. And in a lot of the organizations, you don't see a lot of it. Vince Austin pulls a fork out and starts gutting everybody. Now, I'm sorry, this happened a little bit too early in the match. Pretty much as soon as all six guys got in there, there was like two spots that all of a sudden the fork's coming out. Like, seriously, you need to let the match breathe a little. Like, as soon as I saw that fork come out, you're seeing people literally get out of their seats and walk out of the building. This is little kids as well. Like, I don't know what to really say. Like, I know there's expected violence in this, but man, give it a little bit of time before you do stuff like that. So here you go. You got four, I believe it's five out of the six guys cut open. The only guy that didn't get busted open was Frenetico, from what I've seen. From there, one of the biggest spots we got of the match was when Ugg decided he wanted to go up to the top rope. I don't know whether he was trying to escape the cage or whether he was just curious about being up there. He ends up getting caught in a three-layer Tower of Doom with the NVR going for a superplex and the Dogs of War going for the powerbomb. Frenetico ended up being on the side, being taken out earlier with a lot of power moves from these other guys. But from there, as soon as that happened, Frenetico gets up and he's going to try and escape the cage over the top. But then he realizes his partner is in trouble there, to which he dive bombs right on top of everybody in the ring. It was a great spot. Great to see everybody was safe after the spot. That's the part that I impressed the most. And nobody died in that matter. But and then from there, you had basically Vince and Steven fighting to get out that door. Ended up, Moses ended up running interference, causing the NVR to get stuck in the ring. I believe Moses hit his, it's a cradle shock type move from Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin days. So that finished off Vince. And Steven Styles managed to get out of the ring to retain his RCW Canadian Tag Team Championships with the Dogs of War, with him and Moses Luke. Overall, for a cage match, the effort inside the ring, I give an A+. Anytime you put on a match like that with as many spots as you do, I'm thoroughly impressed with it. However, I'm going to have to knock it back a few points. Like I said, just because of the fork. You bring out the blood so early, and you turn so many fans away from it. This is a lot of the reasons why people got out of wrestling in the first place. It ended up being too violent. Some people love ECW, but let's face it, folks. ECW did not make it on mainstream television for a long time. But like I said, overall, this card was all right. But before we get that, I got a chance to talk to Frenetico after the match to see what kind of condition he was in and how he felt about diving off the cage and his whole thoughts of being inside that cage to begin with. So here's my quick interview with Frenetico. All right, folks, Mike the Ref here with my very special guest who just went through a brutal cage match. I haven't seen one that devastating in a long time here. Frenetico, how you feeling?
I feel just exactly as you described it, man. That was a war. I feel like absolute garbage. I feel like I got the crap beat out of me, you know, and that's pretty true.
Well, between the crap getting kicked out of you and jumping off the top of that cage onto all those guys, like, what the hell were you thinking?
You know, Ugg has come to my rescue so many times, you know, saving me from a real vicious beating. And I got to the top of that cage and I looked down and I saw, you know, he was in a real bad spot. He was taking a real crap kicking. And I can't let my partner down. You know, RCW Gold is very important. But, you know, having a partner that's going to be alive and well for the next time you need him is even more important. So I looked at the odds and I thought, you know what, I'm going to see my partner this time, and I took out everybody.
And you definitely did prove that you and Ugg are definitely worthy of tag team championship gold in RCW.
Yeah, definitely, and we thought that coming in, which is why we started the show with coming out and really just putting it to them. You know what? We're on the same level as everyone else here. Let's put us in the cage and let's see what happens. I want to see what happens. I meant every word what I said at the beginning of the show. I really was excited for this match, to watch those two other teams beat the crap out of each other, but I'm a Maritimer, brother, and if there's anything I like more than a fight with four people, it's a fight with six people.
Greater words never said there, my friend. Now, Fanatico, I can't wait to see you back here next month for RCW Clash of Titans. I can just imagine how that's going to happen as we're looking at your very marked mask here from the match. It definitely was a very bloody match.
Yeah, I got more blood on me, and I wasn't busted open at all, man. Like, that was brutal. That was a war. It was hard to get anywhere on the mat where you weren't going to get into somebody else's blood. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all here to win, and if you gotta crawl through a little bit of blood, then you gotta crawl through a little bit of blood.
Truer words never spoken, but Frenetico, I just want to say thank you for joining me right now, and best of luck, best of wishes, best of health to you, because, man, you look beat up right now.
I feel beat up, and thank you so much for coming out. Not everybody makes the trips out to Red Deer, but I appreciate it huge. And all the RCW fans that come out and see us every month, you have no idea what it means to us. This is why we do it. You know, aside from saving my partner from the vicious beating he was getting, I knew when I got up to the top of the cage, everyone was expecting Frenetico to deliver, and I never disappoint.
And you absolutely did, absolutely. Well, once again, thank you very much, Frenetico.
Thanks, brother.
All right, thanks to Frenetico for talking to me about that whole situation there with the cage and his health. Like, thank God he is feeling good at this time. He has got a match tomorrow night in Calgary with PWA, where I do believe he is taking on Tony Cage. So if you guys are in Calgary, stop by the Century Casino and check out PWA, I believe it's called Legacy, this show. But back to the RCW show here. Overall, this card, if it was an afternoon card and you expected it to be 4 hours, you got your money's worth. Myself, personally, this was an okay card. I'm not going to give it 5 stars. I'm thinking somewhere in the range of 3, just for the fact that it was too damn long. You could see the crowd energy just dying out of it. And I hope that this is something that they fix for tomorrow with RCW Fatal Fallout coming to the Evansdale Community League in Edmonton, Alberta. Which, ironically enough, will be where our next Quick Call show is. I know the Wrestling Mind Brian Hamilton has his thoughts about tonight. I'll get him to give a few quick thoughts about that. Oh, geez, where's my mind? Our newest segment, I don't want to miss it here. Our good, bad, and ugly here. Alright, I'm going to go with my good. Well, of course, I got to give it up to that crowd. The dickheads were in full force there during most of the matches there. I want to also give a good to the RCW British Commonwealth match between Mentolo and Bobby Sharp. Now, I know it was a crappy ending, but the actual match itself, that's two great athletes going at it. What more can I say about it? It was two great athletes going at it, and they absolutely tore the house down. This could be very well a main event of any show in any promotion right now. And I'm sure in years to come, it definitely will be in RCW, hopefully with the RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship in the picture there. Now, my bad. Bad, basically, I can break down the time. The length of the matches. It went so damn long. That to me is bad. I don't think you can keep a crowd excited for that amount of time with these kind of matches that were there. With the proper spacing, maybe. tightening up a lot of the matches, as well as setting up the matches in the right order. And frankly, I think 2 to 3 matches could have been eliminated off this card. I don't know what happened, but that isn't for me to tell. Now, the ugly to me is really damn obvious. The effects from that goddamn fork. The guys getting cut open like sardines. That was just an ugly sight. Oh, I have to give an honorable to the tights of a guy named Barricade. God damn it, put a shirt on. I'm going to have to find a way to get him a Front Row Mafia t-shirt maybe to put on. Speaking of which, folks, I just want to let you know, teespring.com/Edmonton Front Row Mafia. We do have shirts available for sale. Proceeds from the shirts will provide us with higher level equipment so that we are able to stream wrestling shows throughout Northern Alberta. I know Andre C. and myself are more than excited to have the opportunity to possibly broadcast a lot of these events to you, so you could actually see the high quality wrestling that is in Northern Alberta. And folks, we get spoiled here in Northern Alberta with the fact that we got MPW, RCW, PWA, and special tours. But I'm going to wrap this show up pretty quick here, folks. Just remember, our next Quick Call show is going to be from the Evansdale Community Hall, the Evansdale Arena, with RCW Fatal Fallout. Bryce the Slammer Sova taking on 6'8" Monster Azrael in a grudge match from last month, tag match. And also, there will be a gauntlet match inside a cage for the opportunity to face Davey Richards at the Rise of Legends show in Edmonton, Saturday, October 17th. And also, check out our Wrestling Clarity and Blown Call shows on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, EdmontonSPN.podbean.com, or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. But just remember, folks, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls on the road, on the way back from RCW Collision Course in Springbrook on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.